Thank you for tuning in to the Bethel Podcast. At Bethel, we're all about relationship. So if you're in the Phoenix area, we'd like to invite you to one of our services. Please visit BethelChandler.com for more information. Now stay tuned for a message from Pastor Mike Gowans.
I got a message for you in our greater presence series, and I've entitled it this morning, What Were You Thinking? Turn to your neighbor and ask them, what were you thinking to wear that this morning? Have you ever asked yourself that? Have you ever asked yourself, what was I thinking? Yeah, have you ever asked somebody else, what were you thinking? Have you ever wondered, what were they thinking, right? For sure you've fallen into one or all three of those categories, but today we're going to talk about what you're thinking and how important what you think is and how you're thinking and what you're thinking about. Do you know that you are the one who will talk to yourself more than anybody else?
Yes. Yes.
Nobody will talk to you more than you talk to yourself. Now, if you talk to yourself out in the open and people watch, they'll think you're a little strange. But the reality is we all talk to ourselves. And our thinking matters, because what we think determines what we believe, and what we believe causes us to think more, and what we think then causes us to act, to do. And Proverbs 27 says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So I don't know what you think about your life. If you think you have an awesome life or a sucky life. If you think you have a hard life or an easy life. If you think you're a great person or a bad person. No matter how you walked in today, no matter what you thought about your life and about yourself, it can change today. So you could have walked in here with a very sucky life and walk out of here with abundant life.
Amen. Love that.
It's your choice. And all you have to do is change how you think. Now, it's not that complicated, but it's not always that easy. Amen? And why is it always that easy? Because we have strongholds in our minds. We have strongholds that affect how we think. So if you have your Bible, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. As we continue to ask that question, what are you thinking? What are you thinking? 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. For the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power. Dunamis power. That's the Greek word for power. Dunamis is where we get the word dynamite. And we have this dunamis, dynamite power to demolish strongholds. And we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, for you are good. And Lord, what we think about you is one of the most important things in our lives. It's how we think about you and who you are. And what we can know for sure, what we can think about you for sure, is that you love us. And you proved it 2,000 years ago when you gave your only begotten son, Jesus. You gave your son. You sent your son. And Jesus, you were willing to trust the Father. You were willing to trust the Father with your life. and you came down to earth, you humbled yourself, and you lived the life that we were all supposed to live, but we couldn't, and then you died the death we all deserve to die. Because you loved the Father, and you loved us, and you trusted the Father with your life, that you were willing to lay it down for us, because he asked you to. Holy Spirit, help us today think right about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That you are for us. And if you are for us, who has a chance against us? No one. Jesus, you said the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but you have come to bring life and life to the full, life more abundantly. You are the Prince of Peace. Let us believe and think right today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. What you think determines what you believe, and what you believe determines how you're going to think, and then how you think is going to determine how you act and where your life is going. Your life is heading toward your strongest thoughts. Your strongest thoughts. So, why don't we think right? Why don't we think right? Why do we have so many bad thoughts? Well, first and foremost, because we live in a world that's broken. A world that's hurting. A world that's sinful. A world that is full of evil thoughts and actions. Number one. Number two, we have an enemy of our souls. We have an adversary. And let me just help your thinking on this. Don't you think for a moment that the devil is God's adversary? He has no adversaries. So change the way you think, that you think like there's this real battle between God and the devil, because there's not. The devil's our adversary. And guess what? Think right in this, that Jesus said he's placed our adversary, our enemy, under our feet. Jesus has all authority, and he's given it to those who believe in him and who will obey him. So we got to change the way we think. The Bible says one day we'll fully see how puny the devil is. We'll finally see, like, he's the guy in the Wizard of Oz, right? Behind the screen in Revelation, it says, we'll finally see, we'll go, what was I thinking? That I was afraid of you. We'll tell him, what was I thinking? In fact, why don't we change how we're thinking now? So one day we won't have to say, what was I thinking? That I was afraid of you? You devil? Why not today? Today's a good day to think different. Right? Today's the right day to place the devil under our feet. And it all takes a change of thinking. Because that thinking will change the way you believe. And your belief and your faith in Jesus has the power to take the devil and place him under your feet. It's not always that easy, but it is not that complicated. And with the grace of God, with the power, the dunamis power of God, we can take every thought captive. This electromagnetic energy that's flowing around in our brains, these thoughts that are creating energy. Do you know your thoughts can turn on an 18-volt light bulb? That's how much electricity is being generated. Now, some of you have given off a little bit more, you know. But there's energy that's being released from our thoughts. And our thoughts we can change. We have the power to take it captive. And here's the good news. You don't have to do it alone. You have the Holy Spirit of God to help you. You have the grace of God to help you. If you'll submit to God, if you'll humble yourself, go, God, I need your help with my thoughts. Because my stinking thinking, I'm thinking wrong. I need help with the anxiety, my worry. God, I submit to you. The grace of God comes to us to immediately change the way we think. Here's a powerful thought. You can't be angry and thankful at the same time for somebody. You cannot be grateful for somebody and angry at them at the same time. You can't be depressed and thankful at the same time. This is why Paul says rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. Just in case you didn't hear me, again, rejoice. Yeah, but Pastor, I don't feel like it. Guess what? You don't have to feel anything to think a certain way. In fact, if you'll repent and change the way you think, then your feelings will catch up with your thoughts. But strongholds are real. Strongholds are bondages of a way of thinking. And some strongholds don't get revealed until there's enough pressure in your life. In that, in many ways, you've already predetermined how you're going to act based on the past ways you've thought. You go, well, no, I got this. I'm thinking right. You know, I'm going to choose this. Yeah, but there's something coming at some point that's greater than you. Right. And in that moment, you need spirit control, not self-control.
That's great.
Because in that moment, you will be who you are.
Yep.
And who you've thought. But many times you've buried wrong thinking because of past hurts and different things, but it's there. And if enough pressure comes, it's going to reveal it. You know, you've been there. You know, you've said something, right? And you're like, oh, I didn't mean that. yeah, right? No. What you didn't mean is for them to hear that. But out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. See, you're already in some ways wired to do what you're going to do. This is why you've got to be rewired. This is why you've got to be transformed. Turn with me to Romans chapter 12. Come on, Pastor Mike, you're preaching good. You're preaching good today. See, I just wanted to let you know what I was thinking, okay? Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I'm going to read out of the Passion Translation because I like it. It says, beloved friends, what should be our proper response to God's marvelous mercies? To surrender yourself to God, to be His sacred living sacrifices, and live in holiness, experiencing all that delights His heart. For this becomes your genuine expression of worship. Stop imitating the ideas and the opinions of the culture around you. In other words, stop thinking like the world thinks. But be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a totally reformation of how you think. A reformation of how you think. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in His eyes. Church, you cannot defeat what you have not named. You have to name these thoughts. You have to name it. So that you can defeat it.
So good.
You have to be aware of it. Go, whoa, 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 that anxiety, that worry. Oh, yeah, it's got a name. And you're going to be defeated. Where is that coming from? What thoughts are generating this anxiety and this worry? Something in the future that I don't think is going to go really well. Or something that I'm thinking about the future. I've got to change the way I'm thinking about it. I'm not going to worry about that. Because even if I have no clue how it's going to work out, what I know is God will be there in the future with me. But if I try to live in the future now, anxiety and worry. But if I wait for that moment and allow the grace of God in that moment, guess what? Oh, I'm just here to experience it. I'm just here to enjoy it. Knowing that He'll never leave me or forsake me. That greater is He that is inside of me than that He's in the world. So I would like to do with you a thought audit. I want to audit your thoughts today. And so behind me will be a graph of 1 to 10. 1 representing worry and 10 peaceful. Where are your thoughts today? Where do you find your thoughts on a regular basis? Where do you find yourself? Into the ditch of all worry, over to a 2, a 3. Do you find yourself worrying a lot? Your thoughts, are they full of worry? Or do your thoughts full of peace? So we audit today. Where do you find yourself falling on this scale of 1 to 10? Next, our next scale of 1 to 10, negative and positive. Your thoughts, where do you find them? If you'd audit them, are they more 1, 2, 3 on the negative or 5, 6 or even over to 10 positive? If you audit most of your thoughts, what category would they fall into? Are they more positive? Or are they more negative? Now, here's the thing. I think we're born in some ways of a more negative. In fact, I would say if I gave into my thoughts, man, I see everything that's wrong all the time. But if I would audit my thoughts, I live in the 9 or 10 of positive. I live there because of the so many thoughts that I have. The amount of negative thoughts that I could have and could focus on would crush me, would cause me to probably want to take my life. Number 3, 1 to 10, worldly or eternal? Do you find yourself thinking about this world and the things that are temporary? Do you find yourself thinking about, oh, I wonder what's going on social media? I wonder how many likes I got from the post that I posted a couple hours ago. Do I think about that? Does that consume me? Do I think about, oh, something that I'm going to do, like watch something later tonight? Am I constantly thinking about that? Am I constantly listening, to music? And, am I living for retirement? Because that's of this world. Am I living for things that are not eternal? Like, where are my thoughts? Do I think about one day I'm going to stand before Jesus? Do I think about one day this body is going to die? Now you go, well, that's negative, man. Yes, but it's eternal. It's eternal. It is kind of negative, but here's how I reframe that into positive. One day, I'm going to be given a new body. Okay? See how I take that? This body's going to die, right? That's an eternal thought. But it's also kind of a negative thought until I apply the truth of God's word that there is a new glorified body. Man, you think this body's something. You wait till I get my new body, all right? There's greater things yet to come. Hallelujah. So let's take a moment. Let's take a moment together. If you would, close your eyes. If you're driving, don't close your eyes. But close your eyes for a moment. And let's think about. Let's think about what you're thinking about. And leave this moment for a moment. And think about, what is it that I think about the most? Am I too negative? Am I too worried? Am I too worldly? Holy Spirit, help us, remind us of what consumes our minds and our thoughts so often. Show us if there be a stronghold. Do I have a stronghold of negativity? Do I have a stronghold of fear? Do I have a stronghold of lust? Do I have a stronghold that I find myself falling into the ditch of this way of thinking? Holy Spirit, okay. We're thinking all the time. Do we want to think about what God thinks about us? I say yes. Because when I read my Bible, God's thoughts toward me are good and lovely and pure, wonderful. He's got an incredible plan for my life. Plan that if I knew it all would produce so much hope and such a bright future. Amen. Church, this is so important. This is so vital to living the abundant life and living the life that God has for you. It begins with our thoughts. This is why it's so important that you protect the eye gates and the ear gates, that you protect what you're looking at, what you're watching, what you're listening to. Why? Because the things you're listening to and you're watching, okay, those seeds are going into your head, okay, and they're producing thoughts, they're producing ideas, they're producing things. This is why I encourage you. You gotta remove negative people from regularly being able to speak into your life. I mean, we live in a negative world, okay? But you gotta, and if you've got some that you're connected to, man, you that much more, you gotta find people that are gonna speak life into you. I remember being in life groups in moments where men were going through difficult times in their marriage and their spouse wasn't speaking life into them. And if they would have been in their little bar top group, their bar friends would have told them, you don't deserve that. You got to get yourself out of that. But the life group guys are like, man, you can do this. You're more than a conqueror, man. You can make it. Okay? It's so important. What's being spoken into you? Because it's going to produce what you think. So what do you do in moments where all there is bad thinking? All there is just bombardment of bad thoughts. What do you do with it? It's real. We can't deny it, right? It's all around. Well, number one, turn things off. I mean, the only thing good about the evening news is when they say good evening and then good night, right? Everything in between is just bad news. So just turn it off. Turn it off. Get into the Word and let it speak life to you. Get in things that are going to build you up and give you good thoughts. Amen? So number one, I'm going to talk about three things you can do to help reframe your thoughts. Reframing your thoughts. Number one is thank God for what didn't happen. Okay, you're driving to church this morning and you get a flat tire. Okay? That's a bad thought. That's a lousy thing, right? Change it by, thank God I had a car that could get a flat tire. Okay, be like my son coming home and say, Dad, hey, hold on, Mom and Dad, before you get upset and disappointed, you know, just let me tell you the story. So I went to that party you told me not to go to, and I went, and I actually got pressured, and I drank, and I know I shouldn't, and then I got in the car, and then I had a flat tire, and I changed the flat tire, and then I started driving home, and then I crashed, and I totaled the car, and then Mom and Dad, the police officer came, they did a breathalyzer test on me, and I was drunk, and okay, Mom and Dad, are you still sitting down? Okay. Yeah, we're sitting down, my son. Like, well, here's the good news. Okay, none of that's true. None of that happened. What did happen is I got a D in math class. Okay? A D! Right? But that's what, thank God for what didn't. Right, which is really what you're doing is you're reframing to what he did. He gave you a car, right? He gave you a bed. He gave you a wife. He gave, like, you fill in. Thank God for what didn't happen. Reframe to what did not happen. What didn't happen is you didn't lose your job. Okay, what didn't happen? You frame it there. Go there, which will immediately get you thankful again for what you do have. Right? So that's reframing. Number two, practice pre-framing. Practice pre-framing. Framing. So you have a meeting with a bunch of coworkers you don't like. And Mr. or Mrs. Sandpaper is gonna be at the meeting. Right? But pre-framing is that, hey, we got this meeting, we got these problems, we got these situations that we got to work on, and even sandpaper with his irritation is going to help lead us to the right answer, and we're going to get it done, and we're going to accomplish things today. And you know what, man, I'm going to change the atmosphere of the room with my positive attitude, and the kryptonite of Mrs. or Mr. Negative, okay, is not going to affect me today. Okay? But love and positivity is going to win over. And I'm going to smother them today. In fact, I'm going to buy gifts for everybody. Right? That's pre-framing. It's pre-frame. You know, you have a tough day scheduled today. Right? And you're like, how am I going to get it all done? How am I going to get all this done? I got all these challenges and all these moments of potential anxiety. I like pre-frame. Father, today's the day that you have made. And if you're for me, who can be against me? Oh, greater are you inside of me than he that is in the world. Oh, and you are the God of all wisdom, which means you know it all. And you said, if I ask you for wisdom, you'll give it to me. And that I shouldn't be worried about what I have to say in the future because you said that you'll give me the words to say. Hallelujah. That's pre-framing your day. Come on. This is why the 21 days of devotion are so important, because we're looking at tools and weapons that we can use through our day, but also to pre-frame our day. And before I get to number three, I'm going to tag in my partner, my friend, my covenant brother, and the brand new, newly elected, that I had the privilege and honor to give the nomination speech for the new, fresh, new vice president of the PGA of America, Don Ray. Give it up.
you're on fire today. Man, I had no idea. Actually, I did have an idea. I've been coming here too long, brother. Before I get to this 100-year-old trophy, and I'll explain for those who are like, what is the Ryder Cup? I'll explain it in a second. But I'm gonna get to you. One, it's just cool to be here. Got elected 2 years ago. Maybe some of you are here when I gave my testimony, my little short sermon. And over the past 2 years, there's been ups and downs of this ride of being Secretary of the PGA and now becoming the Vice President of the PGA. But as I look around the room and I see some men out there that I've prayed with and that have encouraged me in those small groups you talked about, Mike, you know, it's like those are the guys who got me through it and continue to get me through it because you just build these relationships, right? And so but one of the things I wanted to share is just because it's only happened maybe in the last 6 months, is that all of a sudden, I've been traveling quite a bit. I don't know if you follow me on Instagram or LinkedIn or Facebook, but I'm trying to post about where I'm at and just to show the PGA members that I'm out there trying to connect with them because golf's kind of tough right now. COVID has made golf extremely busy. So a lot of golf professionals are working harder than they've ever worked and they're getting burned out. They're getting tired. Some of them are quitting the profession, unfortunately. And so I'm out there as a cheerleader trying to get them going. And as I posted everything, some friends have called me and said, Don, we're worried about you. You're traveling a lot. Are you sure you're not taking too much time away from Karen? I mean, we don't want you to get burned out. What if you get stressed out? What if you get so stressed you have a heart attack and die? Like, get behind me, Satan.
Come on.
What are you talking about? I mean, you know, and I just started thinking about, they're thinking that they're helping me, but they're actually making, talk to myself. You start trying to convince yourself, man, maybe they're right, Mike. Maybe I am doing too much. Maybe, you know, at the end of the day, did someone call you up to ask you to do something, or was it a calling in your life? This was a calling to be the vice president of the PGA and eventual president. And then I started thinking, you know, when something's happened and I'm nervous to get on stage, am I nervous or am I excited? Because that's a different thing. Am I hurried and worried, or am I justified and sanctified?
Come on.
Right? Am I stressed, or am I blessed? And so I'm thinking of those all the time. Man, I am so excited. I'm justified. I'm sanctified. I am blessed. I am here for a reason to be the vice president of the PGA. Amen. And a lot of men and women are like, you really believe all that stuff, Don? Philippians 4:13. I said, oh, yeah. Absolutely. I'm rolling with JC. Wait, I'm not, he's sitting there right next to me. And then I just, you know, I started thinking about, I was trying to explain this to Katie, this new revelation. My daughter's in college right now. I said, I get it now. It's almost like a roller coaster. And so I looked it up, Mike. 72% of Americans hate roller coasters. Don't put me on one. But yet when I'm on a roller coaster, some of them are on there and they're afraid they're going to die. I'm on the roller coaster. It's the most exciting thing that's going to happen. I'm at the amusement park to ride the roller coaster.
Yes.
So I got my hands in the air. They're hanging on for dear life, afraid they're going to die. And I got my hands in the air. Only because I've got something around my neck that's latched in. I mean, come on. If that thing don't click, I mean, you ever been on the roller coaster? You're not sure it clicked or not? You're like, hey, I'm not sure mine clicked. You're fine, dude. It's clicked. You're going to be just fine, Don. But once I know I'm clicked in, then I throw my hands up. And you tell me if our Savior's not the greatest seatbelt in the history of seatbelts. Right? He's got you. He's got you. And he's not holding your arms down so you can't praise and worship. So when I see you in praise and worship, why don't you raise your hands in the air? You're riding a roller coaster. Jesus has got you. God's got you. Don't be afraid. Have fun. So that's what's framed me. So I only learned that through my small groups in these men that I can see in this room right now. I'm looking at you. You know who you are. You know who you are, Lucas. So golf is, you might not know, there's only 8% of the population plays golf. Can you believe that? I can't. I really can't. Because it's the greatest game, right? I mean, if you're going to play golf, you have to call rules violations on yourself. If you're all by yourself and you're in the middle behind a tree and your ball moves, you got to tell your partners, the ball moved, man, count a stroke for me. Try that in any other sport. where they're trying to fake out the ref. How about if you're the ref? And then one thing in golf is you got to leave it better than you found it. Everybody, you got to fix the ball marks, you pick up some trash, you always leave a course better than you found it. Sounds like the Great Commission to me.
Come on.
So golf is a great sport and what it does, and this is the Ryder Cup. It's 100 years old. This is the original Ryder. This isn't one of those decoys. It's the original one because just like the Stanley Cup you might know about, each player on the team gets it for a week. Because I was secretary of the PGA when we won it, I'm considered a teammate, so I get it for a week. And this just happened, by the grace of God, is the week that I get it, and we get to bring it here for you. It's crazy. So it's called the Ryder Cup, and if you don't know, it's every 2 years, the PGA plays the PGA of Great Britain and Ireland, and actually it's Europe now, in a match. We play against them. It's a team event, and we play against it, and it was started by Samuel Ryder. Who's Samuel Ryder, Don? Well, Samuel Ryder was a very successful man. He's the one who invented the little packets of seeds. He called them penny packs, and you could plant seeds, and that's how he made his money in London. And he really loved, he was very, very philanthropic, but in his 50s, he starts getting sick, and his doctor says, you need to get outside, man, because, and he goes, well, what's outside? Well, maybe I'll play golf. And he meets a man named Abe Mitchell, PGA golf professional, and says, I'm supposed to play golf, I got to get outside more, and he builds a relationship. If you've never had a golf lesson, it's not about swing, stance, and score all the time. Sometimes it's a small group. Sometimes I'm learning about their life, they're learning about mine. Abe Mitchell learned about Samuel Ryder's life and taught him the love of the game. Taught him the love of the game so much that he said, why don't you guys play, you know, United States? You know, they're playing golf nights, we don't have the money. Samuel Ryder says, okay, I'll pay for it all. And he starts the Ryder Cup. So then he builds the Ryder Cup. He commissions it in 1925, and it takes a couple years to build. And then he puts who on the top? Who do you think is on top of the Ryder Cup? It's not Samuel Ryder, because he needed to be honored himself. He put Abe Mitchell on there, because Abe Mitchell changed his life. He wanted to honor Abe Mitchell forever, for the next 100 years, and say, man, that guy caught me a golf swing, but he taught me the love of the game. He taught me something that changed my life. Man, we've got coaches in our lives. We've got people at our Bible study. And I don't know. I don't want anybody to build a trophy with me and put me on top of Mike. That's okay, because I know where I'm going. And I know Jesus is on top of my trophy.
Amen.
I'm going to steal that from you. You said that first service. Yeah, I really like that. I thought Jesus is on top of my trophy. And so that's the power of the Ryder Cup. And did you know this is the only tour event that nobody gets paid? Europe and the American players, all those millionaires, that's all they talk about. I'm so tired of hearing about the men and women that play golf for millions of dollars, because I know I got millions of men and women playing golf. But yet everybody wants to talk about it, but nobody wins a dollar when the Ryder Cup's won. It's the only trophy in all of golf that you don't get paid to win it. But the most important thing I want you to see up here is, this is crazy. I mean, 2 years ago, we prayed and fasted about me winning secretary. And it was like, man, I wonder what God's got in store for us. Mike, it's going to be a fun ride. And now here we sit with this 100-year-old trophy. That's an amazing, like, how does it ever happen? With the golf bag and with the picture to commemorate, you know, me being there. And it just shows you, I want you to know that it was hard to be secretary. And it's going to be harder to be vice president if I read the news. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on in golf. Man, God's got me there. And he's blessing me. And if this isn't pressed down, shaken, and overflowing, I don't know what is. I don't know. So just every time, if you see golf, know how much golf gives back to charity. It's cool. When you see this Ryder Cup trophy, yeah, Samuel Ryder was awesome. But how about a man, Abe Mitchell, changed a man's life just teaching him the game of golf? And that man, if you put your mind to it, and God puts a vision in your mind, he's going to take you places that you've never been.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. And for those that are here after service, if you'd like to, we're going to bring it out into the lobby. If you want to take a picture with it, you can't touch it. But if you want to take a picture with the trophy or Don, it's going to be there. It'll be fun. Even if you're not a golfer, but you know some who golfs, take a picture of it, send it to them, and tell them, guess what's at my church today? And what's really exciting is Don, this Sunday, Thanksgiving weekend, Don's going to be, he's going to be speaking. He's going to be giving the sermon. You don't want to miss that. It's going to be a powerful time. But 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. And now the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day of his return. And the prize is not just for me, but all who eagerly look forward to his appearing. How much of your thoughts look forward to this day when you receive a prize? Do you think about it? Do you long, do you regularly think about the longing of Jesus? And one of the ways you know if you are is you get up in the morning. Because you're longing for his appearance in your life today. Right? It's not just the one day he's returning, but it's today he's here. Like, does living for a prize that will never perish? Because this one, as kept as it is, and it's cool, this historic trophy here that's cared for, right? But it will perish. But the one that's waiting for you will never perish. And I'll tell you, that is the secret to the abundant life. That is the secret, the real secret to give you the power to reframe every situation in your life. Not by denying it. I'm not saying to pretend like it doesn't happen. What I'm saying is let this kingdom prize, let it help you reframe how you're thinking about your current circumstance. And know that whatever suffering you're doing for the sake of Christ builds a trophy, builds a prize that's so glorious and will never fade. Strongholds and the way you think is so important. Don alluded to this, but years ago, for some reason, I think I shared it with him, but he thinks he shared it with me, but whatever, as iron sharpens iron. But we came across this doctor who was a counselor who was trying, for most of her profession, to get stress out of people's lives because stress was bad. And many of you probably even think that today, but hallelujah, today you're going to get to repent and it's going to change your life, okay? Because here's the truth about stress. Stress is not in itself bad. It's how you think about stress that makes it bad. So this doctor, this Harvard graduate, studied who she had to repent. Because she thought stress was bad, and she was telling people stress bad. You gotta get stress out of your life because it's gonna kill you. But your belief about stress is actually what kills you. Okay? And she goes, oh my goodness, I'm killing people because I'm telling them you gotta get stress out of your life. But here's the deal. How you think about stress, what you believe about stress makes stress good or bad. If you think like Don and I for our lives are like, stress is just something we embrace, right? But praise God that, you know, we get this concrete truth that your actually belief about stress. So if you believe stress is bad, it will actually, when you're stressed, close your capillaries. Your veins restrict because you think stress is bad. But guess what? If you think stress is just part of life and excitement and energy that just gets me going, guess what it does to your body? It opens your capillaries. It opens your veins. It doesn't restrict you. It opens yourself. It's actually healthy. This is why exercise is healthy, right? Because it's opening things up. So just, that's how powerful thoughts are, you guys. Your thought about stress determines if stress is bad for you or not. Now, that doesn't mean you can't avoid, that like, you have to rest. You have to have a day of rest. If you don't do that, that's not good. You can't run all the time. You got to replenish. You got to sleep, right? But stress through the waking time and in your day, your belief about it, this is awesome, man. I'm on a roller coaster today. I'm enjoying this. And for us as Christians, we're strapped in. Click. I've been clicked, right? I'm clicked in. So be free and don't be afraid of stress. You can look it up, all the science, and this is revolutionary. This is like some 7-8 years ago. Your belief about stress determines whether stress is bad or good for you. Isn't that powerful? Your belief about who God is one of the most important things. If you think God is angry, man, that's gonna mess you up. You think I gotta do a bunch of good first before God will not be angry at me, it'll only lead to religion, self-righteousness. Listen, Jesus paid the price. Jesus proved that God loves me and God loves you. And so I can live loved. As I'm closing, I'm going to share with you what I've discovered is still a stronghold in my life. One in which I'm going to get healing from, and I regularly reframe, and I'll get to the third reframe. And that stronghold is this, that I'm not enough. When the pressure comes and I'm not getting it done, or after one of the three services, Sunday afternoon, Monday morning, man, I didn't do enough. I could have communicated better. Could have done more. This is the stronghold. This is why we are not closed on Mondays, okay? Because it's a real stronghold in my life. I'm aware of it. And it doesn't get exposed all the time except when all the pressure comes. And it's amazing. The more I do, the more I accomplish, the more that I have on my plate, I feel like, oh, I'm not getting it all done well enough. And like those moments that pressure exposes this stronghold, the wrong way of thinking that I'm not enough. I'm not doing enough. And here's the deal. I'll never be enough. That's the truth. And what I do is I go to the Word of God, and 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says this: His divine power has given us everything that we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. His divine power. So in those moments where I'm clearly not enough, I'm weak, His divine power comes in and fills in that lack. His divine power and grace and mercy satisfies that. Yes, you know what? Apart from you, God, I'm not enough. But in Christ, I'm more than enough. Amen? Amen? And so I don't know what stronghold you're battling today. And many times, life and pressure exposes it. Exposes the stronghold that's already there. And it's why many times you don't want to get quiet. You want more TV shows, more music. You don't want to get alone. Right? Why? Because you're left with your thoughts. You're left with your strongholds. You're left with, I'm not enough. I'm left with, I'm small. I'm left with, I'm not that smart. I'm left with, fill in the blank. But reframing number three as we close, and then we We let the grace of God, we let the cross deal and destroy the strongholds and change the way we think. Reframing number three is that look for God's goodness. So what did we have here? We had thank God for what didn't happen. Practice pre-framing. And number three, look for God's goodness. See, you always find what you're looking for. You always find what you're looking for. The question today is, the challenge today is, what are you looking for? What are you looking for? Are you looking for the good? Are you looking for the positive? Are you looking to win? Are you looking to God? Because you're going to find that which you're looking for. So reframe, go, I'm looking for what's good and lovely and pure. That's what I'm fixing my eyes on. That's what I'm framing my life on. We must, church, pause, get into our devotion life, and think about what we're thinking about. And bring our thoughts to our Heavenly Father and hear His thoughts for us. I wish I could just lay my hands on you, or somebody could lay their hands on me, and I would be given a new mind. A stronghold-free mind. Wouldn't that be awesome? Hey, everybody, line up. I'm going to lay hands on you, and instantly you're going to be given a new brain, a new mind, free of all strongholds. But that's not how it works. He gives you a new heart instantaneous. But the mind is someone we have to battle. We have to renew. According to Romans, you must repent and change the way you think. And every single day, a little bit more of your mind gets renewed. And you receive more of the mind of Christ. Amen? Let's pray. Bow your heads. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you, God, for your word. We thank you for minds. We thank you for the ability to recognize what we're thinking about. And the grace to change how we're thinking. To repent. To change the way we think and put our faith and trust in you, to renew our minds, to change our minds. I thank you that there's grace to resist. If we'll submit to you, then we can resist the devil and all of his thoughts, all of his arrows. And we can take captive every wrong thought and make it obedient to Jesus. If that's you today, you say, man, the Lord has revealed some things in my mind, wrong thinking, strongholds in my life. And today I recognize him, and I'm asking for God's grace to come into my life right now. If that's you, raise your hand right now. Right where you're at, raise it up high. Raise it up. Be bold. Go, yes, I know there's some wrong thinking in my head. I got some strongholds, and I want them broken. I've got wrong patterns of thinking. And I want my mind renewed. I want to think godly. I want to stop the stinking thinking. I want godly thinking. I want thinking that's pure and lovely. Hallelujah. Lord, you see the hands. Lord, I pray you'd release the grace. Say this with me. Say, Jesus, I give you my heart. I give you my mind. I give you my thoughts. Jesus, you are my Lord. You are my Savior. Wash my mind with your blood. Purify me in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Bethel Church. If you'd like to connect with us, download our app using the keywords Bethel Chandler or visit us online at BethelChandler.com.